Welcome to another episode of Disrupt. I'm Joyce Fumakinwa with Home Healthcare News. Before we jump into my conversation with Greg Sheff, Interim Segment President of Home Solutions at Humana, I want to give a shout out to our podcast sponsor, Homecare Homebase. If you're spending hours and hours each week on complex schedules that change constantly, we've got great news for you. HCHB Smart Scheduling can automate 95% of routine scheduling for you, saving you time, money, and hassle while improving staff utilization and continuity of care. Learn more about how Homecare Homebase can help you make the most of your staffing resources and empower exceptional patient care. Visit hchb.com today. Not satisfied with solely being a health insurance giant, Humana has increasingly made a name for itself in the home-based care space. The company has done this through a number of key deals and partnerships. I had the opportunity to talk to Greg Sheff about all the moves the company has made over the years. We also got into the pandemic's role in accelerating home-based care, innovation within the space, and so much more. Take a listen now. Today, I'm joined by Greg Sheff, who is the Interim Segment President of Home Solutions at Humana. Hi, Greg. Thank you for joining us. Where are you joining us from today?
Hi, Joyce. Thanks for having me. I am joining you from Austin, Texas, which is where I'm from.
Nice. So let's get started. Humana is an industry giant, but there are probably some people who don't know how much your company is doing when it comes to home-based care. For the listeners who aren't familiar, can you provide some background on the Home Solutions segment at Humana?
Sure, I'm glad to. Yeah, so the Home Solutions segment is one of the operating divisions within Humana, and it's there where we focus all of our home-based care and our home-based delivery. And I would think of it a little bit in the history of Humana. Humana actually started out 6 years ago as a nursing home company and then transitioned to a hospital company and then transitioned to an insurance company, which for the last couple decades is how we know it. Most of us know it as an insurance company, specifically an insurance company that is pretty deep in Medicare Advantage. And you can see over the history of the company that Humana, like many companies, kind of transform and invents itself as new opportunities and needs arise. And that's really what's been happening over the last several years as well for Humana, where Humana as an insurance company is saying, look, we really need to be more than a health insurance company. We need to be a health company. We need to be able to bring services and options for our members and patients. And we're focused on several areas of that, and we can talk more about it. But one of the big areas is in the home. So Humana's made a number of investments in the home, culminating this year in the acquisition of Kindred at Home, making us the largest home health and hospice provider in the nation.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because, we did see Humana announce that it would buy the remaining 60% of Kindred at Home this year. We know that Kindred is being rebranded as CenterWell Home Health. Is there anything you can say about how this deal positions Humana in the broader home-based care space?
Yeah, what we're really excited about with Kindred at Home is the scale that it provides for us. As you and your listeners are aware that driving change and transformation in healthcare locally is hard enough, but then taking that and scaling it into multiple markets has always been challenging. So having, a high-functioning backbone of infrastructure of delivering care in the home is really exciting to us. And we hope to marry that up with a lot of the clinical innovation and transformation that we're working on. So this year we acquired Kindred Home. We also acquired a company called One Home, which is out of Florida, and they're really focused on value-based home health, DME and infusion services. And so taking some of those models and some other clinical transformation, which we can talk more about, and scaling it out across Kindred Home's footprint is really exciting to us. The rebranding is really, to move into a Humana-focused brand and move away from the Kindred brand, which, is also related to other parts of delivery that Kindred, a legacy Kindred company, was involved with. And the CenterWell brand is a brand that we're using across Humana for any of our delivery services that are meant to serve patients in a community broadly, regardless of who their payer might be. So they're not focused on Humana members. So our primary care clinics, our home health, our pharmacy, and other delivery services that are payer agnostic will be transitioned to the CenterWell brand over the next few years.
So Humana has said it plans to only hold onto the home health part of Kindred and maybe sell or spin off the hospice part. Do you have any clarity on the next steps or that process in general?
Well, I don't have really anything to add to what we've already publicly stated, which is really captured by what you said. We do believe that home health is a part of care in the home that really has a tremendous amount that it can add in terms of value for patients and for the system at large. But to deliver that value requires transformation, and transformation requires really focus and investment. And that's why we're so interested in fully acquiring, and or why we fully acquired and intend to hold on to the home health aspect of Kindred Home, is to allow us to really, you know, nurture and guide and invest in that transformation over time. Hospice is an incredibly important service for patients in the community. We think it's very, you know, important part of the healthcare ecosystem, and are very committed to supporting it as well. And we do, as we've stated, we would keep a minority interest if we do bring the hospice outside of Humana. But we don't believe it's an area of healthcare that needs transformation in the same way. And because of that, we believe that it can operate in a separate structure, you know, more efficiently and still deliver the value that it needs to for patients in the community.
So I'm going to shift gears a little bit. Throughout the public health emergency, there has been an acceleration in the acceptance of home-based care and remote care. In general, what have been some of the ways that you've seen this, and how has Humana been a part of that acceleration?
Yeah, we've seen, you know, the acceleration in both home-based care and in virtual care in many, many different ways throughout the pandemic. As a payer, you know, we've certainly seen it in the claims and how our members are seeking care and what they're telling us is important to them. And then on the provider side, you know, we've also seen an increased demand for services in the home, you know, home health, but also home-based primary care. We also, you know, we have relationships with a company called Heal, which provides home-based primary care. We also work closely with Dispatch, which provides home-based urgent care and sort of acute care evaluation in the home. And all of these services we're seeing more and more interest in over the last couple of years. In addition, the adoption of technology that I'm sure folks are well aware of that has really taken off during the pandemic. So, you know, we think it's, you know, I think home-based care has always been, you know, appealing to different folks for different reasons. Sometimes it's because somebody is truly homebound and not for care in the home, would not get care. What we've also seen during the pandemic is that there's a lot of interest in home care just as a more effective and efficient site of service. And whether that's in-person home care or virtual home care, we think that, you know, the interest and acceptance of it on the patient side has really become clear during the pandemic.
For the most part, Humana has always had its eye on the home. Can you talk about how home-based care fits into the company's overall mission or strategy?
Sure. I'm glad to. Yeah, I mean, I would say that, you know, at the highest level, our strategy is to really be a health company. So to bring not only the, you know, the knowledge and the analytics and the insurance products and the benefits through the insurance side of the business, but also to bring actual care, whether that's primary care or behavioral health or care in the home. There's lots of different, you know, options. But to really be a health company and meet communities broadly and helping them on their journey towards health. When you break that down onto the delivery side of it, onto the, you know, delivering care side of it, Humana is really focused on five areas. And the reason we're focused on these five areas is because we, one, believe they're critical to delivering, you know, health for communities. And two, because we believe they're areas that need continued investment and focus. So one of those is care in the home. Another one is primary care. And that can, of course, overlap with care in the home. But care in the home, primary care, behavioral health, pharmacy, and social determinants of health. So those five areas of care are areas where we're very focused, and home is obviously a big part of that.
And Humana recently conducted a survey that examined the public health emergency's overall toll on seniors. Would you like to talk a little bit about some of the key findings?
Sure, I'm glad to. Yeah, it was a really interesting study. And, you know, it really confirmed, I think, a lot of what many of us in healthcare, or frankly, many of us just in the country or in the world, are experiencing with our families, especially our seniors in our families or in our communities. So one thing that we, you know, saw, not surprisingly, is that 4 out of 5 seniors reported that their lives had changed because of the pandemic. But out of that, you know, 1 in 2 reported that they spent more time alone, and 43% indicated that they spent less time doing the things that bring them joy. And I think, you know, again, those are not necessarily surprising from the isolation that we've heard about. And as we all know, social isolation can be particularly challenging for seniors. Now, what was really interesting about it, though, was the positive spin on that, is that out of that, some of those sense of isolation came that 68% said they're going to prioritize spending more time with friends and family after the pandemic. And 67% said they're going to do things that will bring them joy. 53% said that they plan to travel. So you see both this sense of, you know, it was a hard time, but out of it on the back end, you also see people really zeroing in on what's important to them. And, you know, that's often, you know, other humans, friends and families and visiting people. And so I think we find that really a silver lining in this.
So thank you for sharing that, first of all. But I wanted to know, did any of the survey's findings surprise you? And if so, how?
I think one thing that I found that was what was interesting was how the role of technology. So four in five seniors says they use technology to manage their health and wellness through the pandemic. That's a big number that said they used it. Some of them used it to keep in touch with friends and family as well. Some used it for telehealth, you know, directly for visits. But just the notion that many were using it to manage their health and again their wellness, their relationships, I think says a lot around all of our ability to be adaptive and to find new ways of meeting needs that are important to us.
And how is Humana using these findings to shape its offerings for your members?
Yeah, I mean, you know, in general, we look at lots of data and feedback from our members and potential members about what we can do on the plan side to create benefits that are most meaningful. And then on the delivery side, you know, I talked about some of the areas that we think are historically underattended on delivery and how we can make sure that we're building services. So in this particular example, you know, we're looking at what can we do to help members stay more connected? What can we do to help improve access to care? So plans with $0 telehealth co-pays, for example, would be an example of how we take this information and what members are doing and how we reflect that back into our plans. But, you know, in the end, what we're trying to do is understand what the needs of the communities are. And then we're working within certain constraints, but how we can meet those needs and continue to meet them better and better every year.
So we're just coming off earnings call season. And I kind of want to, you know, take a look back at Humana's recent earnings calls. Within the next 5 years, Humana wants to have 50% of its Medicare Advantage population under its value-based home health model. Can you say more about this?
Yeah, I'm glad to. I'm excited to. So I sort of mentioned earlier in the call about One Home. And so One Home is a company that we acquired over the summer, which has a model of delivering home health, DME, and infusion under a value-based model, meaning that they're responsible for all of that care and they're responsible for the outcomes and accountable for the outcomes. So it's sort of a win for a health plan. It's also a win for the members. And it's a win, you know, on the delivery side, because the way it's structured allows us a lot more creativity to drive innovation, to use technology, and really kind of deploy our clinicians in a way that maximizes the experience for our members and also the outcomes for the members, whether that's, you know, hospitalizations or ER visits or improved functional status or wound healing, et cetera. And so the idea is to take that model and to scale that model out across the Humana Medicare Advantage markets over the next several years. And folks, members that are in a market that would have access to home health, they would be able to access their home health benefits through this sort of structure.
So on top of the things that Humana is doing around home-based care, the company has also formed partnerships with home-focused companies such as Heal, Dispatch Health, Papa. Can you talk about how these relationships bolster Humana's efforts?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of work to be done in healthcare, and, you know, there's no one single entity that's going to be able to do all of it. And so, you know, there's a lot of great companies out there going at different parts of delivery and how, you know, members can be, or patients can be taken care of holistically in their home, but in different ways. So you've got primary care in the home through Heal. You've got some caregiver services through Papa and companionship through Papa. You've got emergency or acute care like evaluations in the home, or, you know, kind of high intensity urgent care services in the home through dispatch. And so us working with these partners so they can be experts, the best at what they're doing and providing these services, but then our partnerships allows us to, one, expose our members to the benefits of it, but also to work with them collaboratively to have some integration among the different services so that from a member perspective or a patient perspective, it's not feeling like you're working with company A on day one and company B on day two. Nobody wants to feel that. So instead, it feels like you're getting care from an integrated team of providers, and it may be that the folks with a primary care emphasis are there on day one and folks with an urgent care, emergent care emphasis are there on day two. But they know your information, they're working collaboratively, they're sharing information as appropriate. And so really that kind of integrated experience is really what we're after with a lot of these partnerships. And it allows,
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it allows us to provide more value to patients faster by allowing us to, you know, to grow with them instead of, you know, kind of being a constriction point on how much innovation can happen in the system at any one time.
And, you know, just kind of staying on this topic, is there anything more you want to say about what makes a company an attractive partner in Humana's eyes?
I think there's really two things that are particularly interesting to us. One is a real focus on actually driving better clinical outcomes. I mean, the bedrock that we can make change benefits Humana is if we can benefit our members and patients, right? If they're doing better, we're doing better. So we really want to work with folks that are deeply committed to making better clinical models and delivering better clinical care for the folks under their care. So that's number one is, and you know, data around that. So to really to be able to demonstrate that. And then the second part is just collaboration, right? I mean, you know, we need to be able to collaborate with them, but healthcare is a complicated world and we want to work with other folks who are collaborative across the ecosystem.
Something I know you're passionate about is breaking down silos through home-based care and value-based care. For Humana, what does this mean exactly? How has your company been doing this?
I think there's a kind of a couple different layers to that, almost like, you know, peeling back parts of an onion. So I think, you know, one part is just making sure that data is appropriately shared. So for example, if you see a CenterWell primary care physician who refers you to CenterWell Home Health, you're not going to want to have to retell all your demographics and or your medical history. And we know that can be a challenge in healthcare. I mean, even in large integrated health systems, large, you know, hospital systems, you'll sometimes patients will have an experience where they see the doctor in the office who's employed by the health system and it's on a different EMR than the hospital. So then when they go for a procedure, it's like they have to start over. So one layer of the onion is just making sure that that core data is shared so that it's a seamless experience. I think the next layer of that is really going a layer deeper on that integration and making sure that there's shared clinical pathways, shared clinical goals, and that the teams are, you know, truly collaborating clinically together around that. And then the next one I think is actually where it gets a little bit more interesting, which is right now, the way the care in the home is described, it's very much described based on the existing divisions of care that are based on facilities. And let me say that more clearly. Right now, when we talk about care in the home, we talk about primary care in the home or hospital in the home or SNF in the home or rehab in the home. And essentially, these divisions are based on, in the outpatient world or in the non-home-based world, you would physically move from the doctor's office, primary care, to the hospital, and then physically move to a skilled nursing facility. And so you have these different categories of care. When you're giving care in the home, the categories become a little bit semantic. If you can imagine that if you're in the home getting an ER-like evaluation in the home by dispatch, and then they admit you to a hospital at home program, which then discharges you to an intensive rehab, a SNF at home-like program, you've kind of moved through several of these concepts. But when you're in the home, it's really the same technologies and the same clinical skills, just distributed with slightly different intensity or frequency over time. And so a lot of these divisions become arbitrary. You don't really get discharged from hospital at home and get admitted to SNF in the home when you're in the home the entire time. So where I'm going with that is I think kind of the core layer of integration is when you actually get away from some of these historical concepts of how we cut up care and start instead saying, look, the home is where people spend the majority of their time. And what we want to do is promote health in the home and prevent, you know, illness and complication in the home. And that's some combination of technology, of unlicensed or, you know, caregivers that don't hold licenses. It's some combination of nurses, of therapists, of nurse practitioners or physician assistants, of physicians. And how do we blend all those kind of on and off over time to meet the fluctuating needs of our patients? That's true integration when you're not being passed from these kind of separate kind of episodic or discrete areas.
And I think that that's kind of a good lead into my next question, actually, which is, you know, along with being passionate about breaking down silos, you're also passionate about continued innovation in the home-based care space. What are some of the things you'd like to see transpire over the next couple of years in terms of new technology or care models?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I mean, there's a ton to be done just with what we already know. And then there's all the things we're going to learn, right, as technology continues to evolve more quickly than many of us can imagine that it will. So I think what we're learning about remote monitoring with more advanced remote monitoring with new devices that can, you know, even get hemodynamic status or, you know, on the cusp being able to get some lab values non-invasively. So using remote monitoring, using ambient monitoring, so background monitoring, whether that's, you know, hearing a change in a voice that could represent a COPD evaluation or, you know, seeing a near fall. I mean, there's a ton with ambient monitoring that can be done that I think is going to continue to drive a lot of innovation. Learning how to deploy that efficiently and learning how to monitor it efficiently is also a lot of work. There's a lot of data that comes in and we need to be able to kind of find the relevant signals within all of that data. So I think that's all a lot of work to be done. I think the other, you know, really exciting part is, and this is where it's exciting being on both the payer and the provider side, is on the care model, right? I mean, there are constraints of what is traditionally done in the home based in part on kind of how people are paid for it. So being able to really start thinking creatively, and some of this has to do with, you know, regulatory requirements that we would need to work collaboratively with CMS on, but, you know, how can we, instead of saying, you know, for example, what can we do under a home health episode, instead say we have nurses and therapists and technology, how can we best deploy them in the home in various settings? It might be for a once a month check. It might be a post-transition visit. It might be a nursing or rehab visit. And I think an MA plan because of its dual role as both the, you know, the payer of care and also, you know, being able to manage the appropriate utilization of that care, there's some guardrails about being able to innovate within that framework that I think give us a lot of chance to find better ways to use the assets we already have and find better outcomes for folks in their home.
With all of this in mind, does Humana have anything in the works that you'd like to highlight?
You know, we've talked about a lot of it. We're really excited for 2022. You know, 2021, we completed a couple, you know, very significant acquisitions that really give us the framework to start driving clinical innovation and really changing the way care is delivered in the home. That's going to be a multi-year journey, but it's a journey that starts now, and we're super excited for that.
So this year is coming to an end. In your position, what are some of your 2022 goals that you have in place for the Home Solutions segment at Humana?
There's a number of things. I mean, one is we're really committed to figuring out and scaling how we can drive more value for the communities through care in the home. And part of that's through the value-based home health model that we'll be working with One Home and Kindred on. We haven't talked about it much on this call, but, you know, labor is very much on our mind, as it is on many folks in healthcare and in care in the home in particular. And so we're very focused on what do we need to do to be, you know, the destination workplace for nurses and other clinicians that would like to give care in the home, and really understanding what their needs are and how we can make, you know, make their job both intrinsically more rewarding and let them focus on the care they want to give, and also, you know, give them the appropriate extrinsic reward to compensate them appropriately. So a lot of focus on our clinicians and on the labor workforce and what we can do to support them. And then I think the last thing that we're really focused on is, we talked about it a bit, but how do we tie all this together? How do we connect the dots? So we've got a lot of great work with Heal, a lot of great work with Dispatch, certainly with Kindred at Home and One Home. There's other parts that, you know, we haven't had a chance to talk about, but how do we start to pull those together to, you know, a real system of care, an ecosystem of care for folks in the home? And I think all of that, I think really what underlines all of that is giving better outcomes in the home. I mean, I think that's ultimately what folks are looking for, both patients, but also the clinicians. And I think as we can evolve the models to give more and more value in the home and take better care of people in the home, it becomes a very virtuous cycle for scaling this and doing even more good.
Well, I think that is a great place to end our episode today. Greg, thank you so much for joining us on Disrupt.
Thank you, Joyce. I've enjoyed being here.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Disrupt. For more news and insights on the home health, home care, and hospice industries, subscribe to our daily or weekly newsletters at homehealthcarenews.com.